Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers Podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers Podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers Podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers Podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls. Home improvement tips straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Welcome you and welcome us to Sunday's edition of Ace on the Roof.
Sunday.
Or how? Sunday, day for football, day for family.
Day for love.
Day for futility, meaning you're building something, we're going to help you.
Yeah, day for messing up the paint job.
And whatever you got to
do. We'll fix it for you.
By the way, haircut man looks
good. You
know
what I'm saying? I take the bull by the horns and I say to myself, I'm not going to pay $150 for a haircut. I'm going to Floyd's. I'm going to pay $35.
Really?
Here it is. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, really good.
Not bad.
I don't even do that.
I can't do
the $10 thing.
I can't pay the thing anymore with this hair. Who cares?
I do the 10 and I tip the 5. So I look like a big spender.
Ooh, where do you get the 10?
There's a place on Ventura.
With the clippers?
No clipper. No, they do scissor.
Oh.
And they pretty much listen. But some people, when you go, it's like they do their style on you regardless of what you want. It's like,
that's
what. You also got to listen. You look like you're 15, by the way.
Thank you. I also can't believe the phenomena of sitting in the chair. And Kalen can attest to this because he just had a haircut. But you sit in the chair with the thing around your neck, so it kind of pushes your jowls out a bit more. And then you're just staring at yourself in the mirror for an hour, basically, and it gives you time to go like, wow, what happened?
And then when I see the clippings come off, then I look at the gray.
Yeah, that's right,
on the
gray.
Black,
I know.
On the black,
it looks like
apron.
A shorn old sheep.
Yeah, I just
lady.
I'm not coming back here. I can't handle it. I know.
And then I went to hug the lady after the haircut because I enjoyed what she did. And it was like it was one of those dogs in a shelter that you go to pet and they start to cower in the corner. Like it feels like maybe she's been abused in her life because I went to hug her and she like ducked and hunched away from me.
Well, in today's climate, you know, you can't do anything.
You can't do anything.
And yeah. Then, by the way, though, you got that fucking weird stressy BO of late.
I got
Are you out of the woods?
No, well, today it's a little bit.
Because I got you last
Kalen
week,
Kalen came in to take the photo. We always do a photo after the broadcast to put it on the website.
And I got a nice little side by side of you taking the picture and then of Ray then smelling the BO and looking at Eric like, what is that coming out of you?
I asked you to smell it too, and you wouldn't pump.
Did you think it was?
I could already smell it. I smelled it walking in the room.
But does it smell? Does it remind you of cortisol and fear? Is that what it smells like?
It's that weird hot dog, that steam hot dog smell.
Oh, it is.
That's what it is.
Oh,
it's
that's
like a steamed
bad.
Hot dog along with Essence O Eric.
My kids and wife hate me because I smell this bad sometimes.
Are you not the deodorant dude?
I never remember to put on the deodorant.
And
I have to admit, somewhere down the line years ago, my aunt told me, rest her soul, she's dead now, But she said that the aluminum in deodorant give you Alzheimer's disease, right? My grandfather had that. I'm pretty sure I'm going down already.
Did your aunt have it also?
No, but she died of liver failure or something. Something happened to her. From eating deodorant. Exactly.
She liked the Mitchum.
She liked
she
the
chew on it.
It's like a Mars bar. It has the same texture as a Mars bar, right? But yeah, so it's a combination of forgetting to put it on, and then when I do put it on, I'm always like, well, I'll use this natural stuff, which basically doesn't do anything.
Do you ever do the salt rock?
I tried it. I tried. It's crap.
You know what I do? I love the Mitchum for a long time, but then would do the Stain.
Yeah.
And now I use the original Old Spice.
That's what I've been using lately. The original one.
Yeah.
My son turned me onto that one.
It's not bad.
Who, by the way, speaking of which, the entire fraternity and sorority Greek life system at the University of Michigan is now over.
Is that probation or over?
I think they just stopped. They said no parties. You're done. Nothing
else. Oh, they're on probation.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they can't.
They can't get rid of it forever?
No, they're like national, man. They have lobbyists. They have power.
Jeez.
I mean, they're probably
He contributed to shutting my son's Greek life down.
Well, I think they're
college.
Just not allowed to party,
well,
which is essentially
one,
shutting it down.
And the one in the horrible thing that happened with the hazing death of a kid at one of the colleges.
Of I think drinking?
It was Penn State maybe or something like that. Yeah. Drink like 19 shots within an hour and the guy died. It's terrible.
Yeah. What's that phone call? By the way, that's got to be brutal for the parents.
Good news, bad news.
What part's good?
Your kid had, you know, 3 A's and a B, and unfortunately he's gone. You know what I mean? It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Horrible.
You
can't even imagine
fun.
That kind of a conversation.
Terrible. Hey, Matt, did you ever have alcohol poisoning when you were in your sorority?
You're good. No, I don't think I ever did officially, but I definitely had more than my fair share of way too many alcohol nights. Horrible next mornings, but never anything.
Hospitalization.
No,
uncontrollable, like yakking for whatever.
Oh, definitely some uncontrollable yakking.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were no worse for wear.
Yeah. It was a rough next day, really rough next day, but nothing terrible.
Kalen.
Get through it.
Kalen, junior high. What happened in junior high?
I've never gotten alcohol poisoning, no.
You ever killed a man?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good. No further questions.
He left him in the ditch. He could still be alive.
There you go, breathing. Hey, and with that
let me tell you one more thing before we go to our announcements. I walked into Home Depot. There's Christmas trees.
I know. Depressing.
Give me a break.
I know.
What month is this?
August.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Next week.
No, it's here.
Thanksgiving.
Well, Black Friday is the day after.
Oh, my goodness. You know? All right, here we go. Support us at Ace on the House. Thank you for supporting our show. Visit aceontheroof.com. Click the PayPal button to subscribe. Also, click through our Amazon link. Go hit it, Ray.
Follow me on the Twitter. Follow Eric on the Twitter. Follow us everywhere. You know how to do it.
Yeah, 5 stars on iTunes. Leave a comment and email us your video questions. And, you know, more explanation, the better. We love your videos. Thank you for sending them. They're a lot of fun for us to watch.
Hey, I also did, I was a guest on, Jason Ellis' show.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went and sat in with
fun?
Him. Yeah, good guy.
Wow, that's great.
I dig him.
What'd you do? Just talk?
Just talked. He had no fucking research on me whatsoever. Not that there's any research.
You just showed up and started saying
just
stuff?
Just talked.
That's great.
It actually went really well.
Well, you're good at it. You're good at this.
I guess.
Yeah, you realize. Here's what I always
do. But I had a bunch of research, too.
No, but here's the thing that I always realize about guest stuff. You know, you show up, and that's when you know you've been doing this a while. Because you are probably someone that interviews people more than you don't on your other show, right? So when you're
on the other show, I get 3 words. Who the fuck are you talking to?
No, but you know,
on the other show, I hold my breath. That show?
Maybe you're just so relieved to be able to talk on another show that you seem like you're doing right.
I got to get the words in.
There you go.
There's a ratio to be held
up
there.
I got you. Hey, we got a call already for crying out loud, Ryan.
Oh, look, from your home state,
Ryan, Michigan. What's going on, man?
Ray Stromer, great to hear from you.
What do you
appreciate
know?
Appreciate taking my call.
You bet.
Quick question for you. I just started a new job in Michigan, working for my father-in-law's roofing company.
What city? What city are you in?
Grand Rapids.
Yeah, baby. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, love it here. Winter's rough.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, can you do roofing in winter?
Oh, I would hope you'd have an answer to that, Ray, but yes, you can.
I mean, but it's seasonal, slower. Right?
It's a lot slower. It takes a lot longer to get a job done. We have to kind of tear off and replace in sections. But, we stay busy through winter.
Ryan, let me tell you something. In my estimation, your trade happens to be one of the hardest, most taxing trades on the human body of all trades I know.
And I'm learning that.
You are you're a fine man to be able to do that. That's a tough gig, especially on that angle. You know, it's not easy.
Are you doing residential or commercial?
Residential. Residential. Both, but we our niche is in residential.
That's great.
And what's up? What are you thinking?
So my father-in-law has been in this business for over 30 years, runs a great company, have a long list of jobs, always plenty of work to do. Very difficult to find anyone who wants to strap on the tool bags and learn the trade, though. So one question is, how do I attract millennials or anyone who's not in the trade to pick our trade of any to get started on, to learn how to fix houses and roofs and whatnot?
That ain't going to happen, man. I mean, because it's hard work, and the people who do hard work need money. So you got to find that faction of people that are willing to do it. I mean, there's a reason why all my dudes are Latin, because they have kids, they need to make money, and they have to work. I haven't worked with a white guy, how long? I don't know, quite a while. I mean, if I do work with a white guy, it's in tandem on something, we're both the boss or whatever, but to get like a work, my force, the guys who really know what they're doing and really take care of me are, you know, Mario and Francisco and Miguel. That's it.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
And they go.
And I would say, you know, maybe go younger than older in terms of guys that are like high school work programs that are teaching the idea of trades.
But do you want to put a high school kid on the roof?
If you trained him.
Maybe.
If he was 18, yeah, I would.
You would?
Because roofing is a young man's game, and you got to be nimble and able to be in those awkward positions for a long time. So I would find guys like out of high school trade programs and, you know, offer them a good wage for their age group, and I think that would be the best place to start. You're not going to get the guys that are 25 that have already had white-collar jobs. They're not going to do it, I don't think.
And do you know how to do it, Ryan? Are you good?
No, certainly not. I'm like I said, I'm new. I've been in project management and tech for about 10 years, and now I'm just moving over to the hands-on stuff. So it's a new industry for me. I love it.
You're handling all the admin, and you're doing the sales and all that kind of stuff, but you don't actually do the work.
Well, I have been lately because we're so shorthanded, which has been helpful to learn, but certainly understand the difficulty of the job.
And do you have roofing supply contacts with your suppliers where you could just literally go and talk to some of the dudes that work behind the counter and go, you know, I'm looking for five guys, you know, this is what I'm paying, and you know, that to me is where I always find them, the best guys.
We started there about a year ago, and it's just everyone's looking for labor. So we're not alone in the problem here. Just trying to see how I can get a competitive advantage over any other competition that's dealing with the same issue. But it sounds just like wages and targeted.
And the other funny thing about
targeted youngsters.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey Ryan, like out here in West Coast, this used to be prevalent, not so much anymore, but. Like, the Mexican dudes won't get along with Salvadoran dudes. Or the Guatemala, like, everybody's got a nickname for somebody, or there's always kind of a riff, a little bit. Not so much anymore, but it used to be kind of bad.
Right, you couldn't mix folks from
Salvador,
you know, different places.
But you can now. I mean, it's more of a melding now because it's the next generation. But in the 80s, when, like, the Salvadoran dudes would come here, and I think they call it, what's a Guatemalan or a Honduras, a Chapin, they call them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of derogatory words and such going on in, like, the labor force. So you got to watch out for that, too. You know, like, my one dude threw a wrench at another dude.
Is that right?
Just because he was from another town, yeah.
Oh,
I go, what
Lord.
Are you doing? Don't do that.
Yeah.
What? No, you know, fuck him.
No, it's really, you know, that's an interesting thing you bring up, because the management end of the business, you know, you do have to learn multiple cultural, you know, mores that aren't going to be offensive from one guy to the other. You know, like to Ray's point, you know, the Salvadorian guy is not going to like the guy who's from Guatemala, and the Guatemalan guy is not going to like the other guy. And it might even be some historical soccer thing, or
who knows?
Or who knows?
Political,
or, you know, it could be many things. But it's important that, you know, in terms of your informal HR department, which is basically you keeping everybody from killing each other, you do have to really kind of be, oh, you got to have a lead man that's going to be able to interface and give you the straight skinny on what the other guys are saying and feeling, right? That's, to me, really important.
Yeah, and then you got to make sure you get rid of the guys, like if they speak another language or whatever, that are making fun of you and you have no idea.
I know, that's true. That's my worst pet peeve, you know.
I've learned all the
like, I remember years ago when I worked in a restaurant, and I was like 19-year-old kid, and I came into the restaurant, and the guy said to me, "Hey, Maricone." And I went, "Yes,
yeah,
I am an American."
Yeah.
And what he really meant to say was, "Hi, homo."
Yeah. That's all right. It's fun, but it can get old, and it can, you know. I mean, I've seen a few fights on jobs from dudes that I was like, "Aren't you brothers?"
Right.
And no, they weren't.
Right.
So good luck.
Well,
to you,
we
Ryan.
Hope we've helped you, and we understand your dilemma. And hang in there, and you know, your management style is going to be like who you can find, and you know, if you can keep them, because once you train them up and they're great, they're going to screw you on the end and
go
take your business from you. You know what I mean?
Copy that, guys. Appreciate the help.
Good luck, man. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Hey, you know what else? The roofing side of stuff.
Yeah,
roofers and concrete finishers.
Yeah.
Boom. 233, like when they're done. Like hot mop or whatever they're doing whatever, you know, boom, you finish the last
drop
truck.
The bags, goodbye.
No, drop the bags, beer.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Right.
You know.
No, man, roofing's a tough job. Jeez.
It's never fun.
You know, and then, you know, with the advent of the conveyor belt that loads your shingles up on the roof, it makes it a little better.
Yeah, but it's a demo.
It's just the standing on that
sheet
angle, and in the, especially if you're in Michigan and it's like 35, forget it.
What about if you're out here and it's 110?
Ah, even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'm already depressed.
I am too.
We're moving on.
Let's go to Jeremy in Virginia.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, so I was taking a shower the other day in my basement, and,
Hey, Jeremy, will you do me a favor and whisper a little bit, because we got a bad connection. So you're taking a shower in your basement, and...
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Alright, I was taking a shower in the basement, and I'm standing like an inch of water, and, the house is on a hill, but it's weird. After, like, 3 or 4 minutes, eventually the water will drain out. But then it makes, like, when I get out of the shower, it's like making gurgling noises and shit too. So
sounds like your main line is either got roots or toilet paper, or, you know, you're about to have a backup, and at some point you'll be standing in the shower, and it won't just be that the water fills up. It'll be that duty shows up and it's in the shower stall with you.
That's your lowest point in the whole house, right? Obviously the basement shower.
Yeah, before it goes out.
So you gotta go rent yourself a 150 foot snake and
three quarter cable,
throw it down the clean out if you have one outside of the house. And
right.
You know, what I always do when I do that is I'll throw the hose in there also, so that you get water plus the snake going simultaneously. And when you use the snake, you want to make sure you've got the big rubber chemical gloves and a pair of glasses, because when you rent those things, basically you're just bringing in the duty from your entire town into your world. And when it spins,
it's
spinning.
It's just bacteria 101.
All your neighbor's poo is being spun out upon you. So make sure that you keep your mouth closed when you're doing it.
And when the snake catches, like on the root ball or whatever you're going through, sometimes it'll catch. And then what happens, it releases and it spins. And then it just flicks stuff all over you.
And not only that, but the cable will then sometimes, if it reaches some sort of a resistance, it's going to. If you're trying to push it too hard, it'll bind and twist within in the cage of the spinning part of the router.
Or on your hands,
right.
Which you can lose a finger.
Yeah, so you have to go slow and easy, have water as a backup coming in as well if you can. And, you know, slowly push it as you're doing it. So, like, maybe an inch every 15 seconds, you know. Let it spin. Water shooting down there also. Let it spin. And then just keep going another inch. Same thing. Don't try and get ahead of yourself. And you don't want to rush it, in other words.
No, don't. And if you get lucky, some of them have an automatic feed that you can rent. Most of them are by hand. But if you get – and you know what else you could do? Where do you live? Virginia? Probably costs you $60-$70 to get a guy to come out there and do it. I'm saying.
Okay.
And then also, what it might be is your trap. So you might have a bunch of soap stuck in your trap in the shower, which is a quarter-inch snake.
Yeah.
That's a different animal. And a lot of times to run through a trap in the shower, it'll come back on itself. So you kind of have to be talented with it. Not talented, but you have to run it in reverse so it'll go down.
There's usually a foot pedal that comes with them so that you're, you know, I usually do it where I got to do this 3 times a year in my own house. So I just have a seat. I have a chair that I sit in, and it's almost like I have a kick drum pedal, which is this thing that you can kind of manipulate with the, you know, forward pressure, backward pressure. And you're just slowly pumping with your foot as you're feeding this thing with two hands. And you want to be really, really cautious. Again, I got to tell you, the spinning, if it catches your shirt or your glove,
it'll literally
rip a hand off. Like, you got to be careful. You can't just, like, not be paying attention, right?
You know, I did root at work for, like, 3 years.
You're the master at it.
I can do the hand snake thing that's within the drum, the Milwaukee. It's a great machine.
Right.
But it is so brutal.
It's brutal.
I was in Beverly Hills, and I took off the cap, you know, in the basement, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Take off a cap. It's under pressure and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't paying attention. Boom, take off the cap. Got shot right in the chest.
Right.
Boom. Poo-poo. All over me. Got out of there. Went upstairs. You know, the maid was there and all this. I go, I quit. That's it.
Took my clothes, a
whole deal. So, mind you, you can get – yeah, not a fun job. Not a fun job.
But you know, if you do it once and you figure it out, you do save a bunch of dough because, you know, if you got to do this every couple of years or 3 times a year like I do, you know, that's like $500-$600 you're saving. So, you know, why not?
You got it, Jeremy. Cool. Hey, you know what else I did to one customer before the day of the locator? Remember the locators they have now?
Yeah, sure.
You can pinpoint wherever the pipe is. It's 3 foot whatever here. But before that, you had the rod with the sharp end and just the, you know, it looked like a sprinkler key. But it had a sharp end, but it was very long. So you could find the pipe. You would just go through there and find the pipe.
Right, right.
So I had this customer, and I was going, hey, we got to find the pipe. He goes, hey, I'll do that, and you tell me when I go, okay, no problem. You know? So I had this guy around his whole yard plugging holes trying to find the pipe. I go, no, it's to your right. I had him going forever. You know, and it was just so entertaining to me.
Oh my Lord.
This man, like, try and find the pipe. And
right.
I go, you know what? I got it. And I found the pipe. And he looked at me, and he knew I was fucking with him.
Yeah.
He called my boss. Comes in, the fucking raising asshole.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That probably wasn't the first time a call like that has occurred.
I had, like, 2 or 3. But whatever. It's still funny.
That's funny.
You know, had him running around like oh, it was great.
Hey, there's Ed in New Mexico, for crying out loud.
Ed, what's up?
Oh, hey, guys. I've got a rental, and the stucco, it's an old house, and the stucco's fallen apart. I've got some cracks from where the house is settled. We've patched it with the concrete patch and so forth. Not the concrete patch, but the
mortar.
You know what I'm talking
stucco
about.
Stucco patch.
Yeah, so, and then down around the bottom, that's kind of fallen apart, and we, being a rental, we really don't want to restucco the whole house. Wondering if y'all can suggest something.
I just paint it, man. I'd leave it alone. I'd entomb it from painting it because it's just like, you know, it's old, right?
Yeah.
And is it settling and it's cracking and just running amok?
It's not real bad. Honestly, it's like 3 cracks, maybe a foot, maybe a couple of feet in one area. It's not horrible.
Can you put a caulking agent in there and just like caulk the crack and then paint the stucco? That would be the easy fix for the rental.
And by the way,
that's what I thought too.
Well, hold on a second. Ed, why are you doing this?
Because we own the rental. Well, my dad owns a rental.
Oh, okay.
Of course, I want to save him money.
I thought you were renting it.
No.
So I would
it's
put
my
this...
dad's.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different story then. You know, do you like the rent? Do you like the rentee? Do you want them to stay?
Yeah. They're actually the best renters that we've had.
Then take care of them.
Yeah, take care of them.
Then take care of them.
Well,
and, like,
Go ahead. Just a silicone caulking, get it waterproof, get it in there real good, nice and thick, and just paint over the whole thing.
There you go.
I'd paint the whole thing, yeah. And I wouldn't use a silicone. I'd use a paintable caulking. There are paintable silicones, though, so you are right. But make sure it's paintable. Because a lot of times guys will put on silicone or put some whatever kind of caulking, and it's not paintable. So it just leaches away from it.
It'll say if you go to a big box store, there'll be 20 different caulking possibilities. Ask the guy who's working there, show me your exterior
paintable
caulk, please.
And then he'll go, what are you talking about? And then you'll go, well, here's what I got. And then you'll figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question. Do I need to break the patch that was on the old crack? Because somebody tried to patch it, and it's big and bulky, and it just looks like crap.
Yeah, knock it down or knock it out.
Well, if you do that, though,
you gotta
you're probably going to have to restucco it.
Or at least that part. What does it do? Did it sag on him or something, or you? Did you put like an inch and a half worth of mortar or worth of stucco patch on it, and it sagged?
No, you effed up somehow. You know, the house was already cracked there, so it probably just continued to settle, so the crack is showing again. So it's just needs to be cleaned up. But I could probably gently break it out of there and maybe put a light patch, put the paintable silicone, like you say, and then put a light patch over it and then repaint it all.
No, I would use a cement. I mean, if it's going to be a patch,
if you're
going to
patch, don't put stucco over caulking.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that. It's one or the other. And if you're going to break out the old patch, that process is you got to hack out with a claw and a hammer all the old stucco, but kind of score it so it doesn't look like you're just doing clean lines. You want to maybe dent it and gouge it so it looks like
break it.
You're
going
to be able to feather the new stuff into the old stuff.
Because like to what Eric's saying, if it's a clean line, it's going to show no matter what.
Correct.
So that's
when you do stucco patch, you want a rubber float, right? Because that's going to give you the ability to swirl the new material on after you trowel it. You're going to let it set
so
up a
match.
Little, and then you're going to swirl it and try and find that old existing pattern to bleed into the new patch so that you're kind of making it one surface that looks the same. So you have to do a little research on how to achieve that finish with your sponge to get it to look like the old stuff. Do you see what I'm saying?
And use like rapid set or use a quick drying one. Don't use a slow drying or a mortar because you have to wait too long to paint it.
Right.
You know, you got to wait at least a couple of weeks.
But when you break out the old stuff, just make sure that you break out the edges too so that when you put the stucco patch back in, it'll bleed into the existing stucco, right? And be flat. You don't want it to look like it does already with some dumb mound on it.
And then, Ed, if it's not that bad, if it's just protruding a little bit, you could possibly grind it down and then just put a patch over it.
See, I like that idea better, just grind it down instead of just ripping the whole thing out. Okay, so I grind it down and silicone inside the crack.
You grind it down, whatever that patch is, and then put another patch over it and then silicone the cracks.
Okay.
The cracks you can silicone. The patch you can't.
I gotcha.
All right?
No. I gotcha.
Yeah, you can do
all
it.
All right, man.
Good luck, man. Wear a dust mask when you're working with the dry powder of stucco. Other than that, you're fine.
And, Ed, we love pictures. So we want to see, before and afters. We want to see if you're a hack or if you cared or if your tenant's moving out. We care about you.
Well, I'm handy, but I'm not a craftsman, but I think I can get it done.
Pictures.
Pictures.
Pictures,
will do.
Please.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
see you, man.
Bye.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob is in Ohio. What's up, Rob?
All working today, brother. How's your morning going?
You know, we're loving being here. It's always fun to hang out with my friend Ray and, of course, Maddie the Fondler, and then the great Kalen.
And then, by the way, anytime I'm with Eric, I'm having a good time. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
What do you need? And hey, Rob, when I'm hanging with you, you're 33. Jesus, what's up?
Well, we're building our forever home, and we're designing our kitchen. We're trying to decide what countertop to put in. We're using a Dublin Gray LVP for the floor and white cabinets. We're trying to figure out what's going on with the countertop.
And
My wife wants a wood block countertop, and I've never heard good things about wood block, and I'm trying to decide between granite or quartz.
Well, I just installed a wood block counter that looks unbelievably great if you want that sort of country hybrid vibe, right? Where it's got some of the modern elements and then you've got the country element of the wood grain. And when you buy those wood grain tops, if you get them from a real supplier, not like Lumber Liquidator kind of a thing where it's the cheaper version, but more of like the end grain where it's really strong, like a cutting board, all you have to do is oil them. And if you don't mind that there are scratches on them because you're using it as a work surface, it's incredible. If you're someone that wants a pristine look that will never have any scratches or mar in it, don't use wood.
I like the wood also. I mean, I don't know if I would use it, but I like it. I think it's a warm feeling.
Beautiful feel. Now,
then you can always oil it. You can always sand it. If you have an undermount sink and the silicones these days won't, I mean, you still could run amok and get some mold in there or whatever, but I like quartzite. I like the synthetics.
I like the quartz too, because I'll tell you, with the quartz, you can put a piece of raw chicken on the counter and then throw it in the pan and you're cooking it and then wipe it off with bleach and nothing happens to the counter ever. It's impervious to residual bacteria. It's super clean and easy to take care of. It does not scratch. You can put hot pots on it. It won't burn. It's just a very specific look. I don't like quartz when it tries to look like stone.
No. You have to, if you're going synthetic, make sure it reads synthetic.
Yeah, if you're going,
you don't want it to look like granite or their fake granite thing.
You want it to look like an amalgamation of material that's more modern looking. Not like fake veins. I think that looks crappy.
Yeah, it looks weird.
If you're going to want that feeling of marble where it's honed and not shiny like an Italian restaurant,
I like that.
That looks great too.
Marble stains.
It's real specific. I have marble. You've seen mine. It does stain. If you spill red wine on it, you're going to get a little stain.
Yeah, but yours feels lived in.
Well,
yours feels
that's
good.
I knew I wasn't going to be able to take care of it.
Yeah.
Because I got three kids. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So,
and then also on one of Eric's drawers, there's no panel on it.
Nope.
So everything's
there's
fine.
No front panel. Literally looks like someone that could give a shit, which is me, in their own house, because I do it for other people all the time. What do I care?
It's true, though.
It's that feeling.
It is true.
The shoemaker's son has no shoes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Come on. It's crazy. It's like, hey, honey, when are you going to do that patch? What patch?
What patch? I don't even see it. Yeah. I ignore that. I got a piece of plywood screwed to my ceiling.
Blinders.
Yeah, it's terrible. My house is terrible.
What are you thinking, Rob?
Well, we're going to have an 18-square-foot island and a large countertop.
Well,
why don't you change them up?
They don't
have to match.
That's what I was going to ask. Would you suggest the wood on the countertop and a stone on the island or vice versa?
I would do the wood on the island.
Yeah.
Jinx!
Jinx! Oh my God, we're thinking the same. I would do it on the island because it's less of a food prep area, or you could put a cutting board on there to protect it. You get the look of it, and then in your utilitarian areas where your sink and your water and your cooking occur, maybe do the quartz.
A no worries type of deal. I would do that. And then just get a bunch of samples, color-wise and feel-wise. Get every sample you can. They have books of them. You know what I mean?
They'll let you take home. Go ahead.
Our builder will only install granite, and we do not like any of the options.
What do you mean
they
only install?
That's because he's got 50 slabs that he's trying to unload and doesn't want to pay for the material.
Wait, is he making the template and everything and cutting it?
No,
I mean, your builder, usually it's always subbed out. You know what I'm saying?
It'll be subbed. No, this is, our builder is a national builder, okay? And it's called Rockford Homes. I don't know if you guys.
No.
And they're only offering 9 colors of granite, or they're offering their formica. So we're paying for the formica to be installed, and we're just having it removed before we move in.
Well, then don't even have it installed.
We do not have a choice. There's no choice.
Really?
I know it sounds. Yeah, I know it sounds kind of bananas, but for the punch list and for everything to be completed, and for us to take possession of the home, it has to be move-in ready.
Right, and they buy in bulk, you know, five or eight different things, and that's all they're going to do.
Your offering.
That's their signature look, and that's just how they do it. I understand that.
Right, right.
Well, listen, so when they do the countertops, though, make sure it doesn't glue down that granite and all that, because that's going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you don't want
to.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ray. Don't,
you know, just so you can lift it.
Usually,
off later.
They glue the formica to the countertop or to the cabinetry. And they put cleats in it, so just tell them not to do that, and you'll sign off on an incomplete installation.
Yeah, because you don't want the 3/4 ply on there and then glued down to the, you know, granite or wherever you pick, and then you can't get the shit off.
Because then you could possibly really screw up your existing cabinetry that's brand new, trying to pull the old stuff out and put the new thing down.
Be a nightmare.
So I would almost rather have you say to the installer of the builder and the punch list guy, you know, look, here's $50.
Set it in place. Yeah.
Don't do it. Just put it in place.
Right.
I'm signing off on it anyway, but please don't screw any of this down.
Or glue it.
I would definitely do that. And don't even cut the sink template out, you know, because nothing's going to happen here anyway.
Hey, Rob, are you a Buckeye fan and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, sir.
You
Absolutely.
Are?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you think happened with Iowa? You guys got
the running game
worked,
was,
man.
Was,
hey, and by the way, the size differential in that game, Rob, like Ohio State looks like big, huge behemoth men, right?
Right.
Big.
Right.
And then you look at the flip side, they were like all 50 pounds lighter with a motor. I mean, you guys got worked. I hate to say it.
Well, Urban Meyer is good for one poor coaching job a year, going all the way back to Florida. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a surprise by any means by any of us. And we're not jumping off a cliff either. I mean, Ohio State's always in the top, you know, 8 by the end of the year, and always has a chance to enter the playoffs. I mean,
whatever. Take care
alone.
Of your counter. I'm not talking to you anymore.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Good luck, buddy.
Mike.
Yep, how's it going?
Nebraska used to have a good team.
Yeah, well, I'm from Iowa myself, so actually I like
Woo-hoo!
To talk about Iowa beating Ohio State. But I went to Iowa State, and we're doing pretty good this year, too.
There you go. What's happening?
Yeah, nothing. I was going to ask you guys, do you guys use YouTube videos ever when you're trying to find out how to do something you don't know how to do?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
For what I do.
Hey, before the internet, Ray and I used to use Sunset Books. You know, you would go to the.
I still have them.
You go to the bookstore and be like, "How the heck am I supposed to do a deck with a hot tub inserted in?" Oh, here's a Sunset Book. Yeah, we all use resource material, and now the internet has some quality stuff. You just have to know that what you're looking for, and that if the guy who's doing it knows what he's doing.
And usually, you can tell right away if they're competent because they fucking boast about themselves for the first 5 minutes, and then you don't get to anything real. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
you've done this already, right? You've ran into it where the guy just keeps talking endlessly about, like, how good he is, and then you finally get to see what he does, and then it does make sense.
It's like porn, you know? You get it up on the screen. You say, I don't want to see the part where they're talking. You just zip through halfway into the thing, and then you know
and then
that's
you
where it starts.
Figure out what you need.
You know.
You come to completion.
Yeah, well, I'm a graphic designer, so I use it for for using, learning how to do programs and stuff.
What are you looking to do anyway?
Well, I just moved into a house with my wife recently. I've been renting up until January of this year, so I'm finally on the spot. But we have stuff like we have a crack in our ceiling. Our house is 110 years old.
I like it though. Post and beam. What is it?
What's that? It's like a popcorn ceiling in the kitchen, and I think it's just wear. It's like
well, then your house isn't 110 years old if you have a popcorn ceiling in the kitchen, unless they did it like in the 70s. Because a lot
it
of
might
times
have been redone later. It's that textured ceiling. I'm not sure if it's technically popcorn, but it kind of looks like it. So
you want to remove it, or you want to just patch it?
try to patch the crack. Yeah, we. I have a guy that's going to help me with it, but I'm actually going to try to work with him so I can figure out how to do it myself.
Don't work with him too much because we don't like working around the popcorn. The popcorn can be a nightmare for your health if you're breathing stuff in. You
and know? Besides that, right. If it's a popcorn ceiling with the crack in it, is the tape coming undone or something? What? Why is it cracked?
I think it's just wear from the house, honestly. It's not causing any problems per se. It's just an aesthetic thing. But
because a lot of times you can just buy it in a can. You just shoot it on in the can. But color-wise, okay. And depending how old it is, it might not match. Then you got to paint it.
Yeah, and is it the kind of popcorn that when you put a roller on it, it comes off on the roller? Or is it more of like plaster that has been shot on to look
yeah,
like
it's integrated in the plastic.
You know, some of it flakes off if you run your hand over it. It literally falls on the floor. There's that kind.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or there's stuff.
Why would
that's
you
solid.
Want to fix that crack? Just get rid of that. Don't you want a smooth ceiling? It's supposed to be in a kitchen. You need a washable surface. You're not allowed to put texture in a kitchen or a bathroom.
Right. Like I said, it's pretty old. I think it's. I don't think it's. It doesn't flake off. Let's just put it this way. We have a doorway that I have to walk under sometimes when I go down the stairs, and when I hit my head on it, it gives me a pretty good scrape in the head, so it's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Wait, how tall are you?
6'1".
And you hit your head?
Yeah, it's an old house. It was built back when people were 5'8 and 5'7", so.
Hey, you know what's weird? When I went to England, there's a lot of that. You can die there going to a bar.
Yeah, because the doorways
it's like
5'6". Yeah, I know.
It's like a header, big, huge beam.
Yeah, terrible.
Nuts.
Sure. You guys mentioned a spray can of this stuff. What's that stuff actually called?
There's a bunch of different ones. There's like textures. You can get like orange peel. You can get the – there's a multitude of them out there. Look on the internet, speaking of tutorials.
You know, or go to a paint store and then ask them. Every paint store is going to have 10
Some
different
of
versions of it, right? And you shake the can and literally just shoot it up
and
on
shoot
there.
It. And then do a practice, get some cardboard and practice so you get the right look. There's also a thing, there's a hopper where you know that texture you're talking about comes in a bag and you mix it, and there's a hopper where you crank it and it shoots. I've done that before.
Can I ask you guys one last question?
Yeah.
Nope.
When are you guys going to get on the ACE program again? Eric, it's been years since I heard you on the ACE show.
Well, you know, it doesn't seem to matter because we like being over here in the Stromer Ray edition, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't done Adam's main show in – hey, Matt, when's the last time I did Adam's main show? 2 years ago?
It's been a little while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. He don't like me anymore, bro. No, he does.
Oh, man. You got to get on there.
I know.
Great stories.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Bye now. I like that guy.
Yeah.
Mike, Nebraska.
Poor Mike's head is all raw from scraping the ceiling on that sharp stucco.
Yeah, but even 110 years ago.
And that's probably just an amended ceiling that happened in
after
1974.
The fact, who knows?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that who knows. Did you ever walk into someone's house and go, what did you do here? I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what happened here?
Yeah, it's like
this is
it's
wrong.
Like a crime scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that, right?
There's so much of it.
It's so strange because I did a place in Studio City, a bathroom, and these guys had it reworked, redone, remodeled, you know, put a bunch of money into it. And I'm looking at the bathroom going like, wait a minute. I go, do they cover a window here? Yeah. I go, are you kidding me? So you look at this remod, and this guy was just a hack.
Right.
No design, no nothing.
None.
But they okayed it.
Right.
And it's
well,
like this family.
He talked him into it for some reason.
I don't
right?
know.
He was able to do that.
These people are affluent. They have the money, and they got rooked.
Right.
He did a stair, you know, like you have to have a landing every, I think you get 9 steps and you have to have a landing, something like that.
Right.
Code-wise.
Right, right.
This guy did like, you know, stairway to heaven.
400 stairs.
Yeah. In the hillside home. Totally illegal. By the way, you take a header from the top of that one, you ain't living to the bottom
of
it.
No, that's bad.
You know, like 24
it
steps.
It is. It's the safety aspect of being able to get up to a landing and then rest and recover and then gather yourself
and
a handrail, all that stuff. Yeah,
and like you can't have that drop off.
No.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, you know in the Hollywood Hills they have all those like illegal, they're not code anymore. because the slope of the driveway, it's like crazy.
Right.
You know, that you can't even do that
no,
anymore.
It's terrible.
The grading.
Yeah, remember that? Where, and then you get a good rain coming and, you know, your car hydroplanes and slides out of the driveway.
And onto Mulholland.
Exactly. Terrible.
It's great stuff.
I know.
Matt, we got any video and stuff?
No, you know, we are actually out of video questions. So this is the time now, people. Email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com, so we can get some more videos lined up. But having said that, I do have an email question for you guys.
Bring it.
This is from Patrick. Guys, I need some help. I recently purchased a home and quickly finding out it needs a lot more work than I anticipated. The biggest issue I have now is the kitchen. It's very outdated, old countertops and cabinets. I can't afford a kitchen remodel, so I'm going to refinish the existing cabinets that are already there. Any suggestions on a type of paint to use or colors? Second tile. The second tile countertops have to go. Suggestions on a clean-looking, low-cost replacement or cover-up. Thanks.
Boy, if you just paint those solid anything,
it'll look good.
It'll look 100 times better. And if you really want to go to the fanciest level of this, replace your hinges with chrome or stainless look. You know, and don't use the old fake, you know, brass-looking crappy hinges. Right.
Yeah, and replace those pulls too. All the knobs got to be replaced.
Replace the knobs, and when you do that kind of a counter or kitchen cabinet with paint, it changes the entire feel of the room. So it will make a huge difference, and you don't have to do anything but paint it, and you will be so blown away by the difference.
And as far as the tile, it's going to be floated, so you're going to have the gauge metal under there, and it's going to be on a float. Meaning mortar bed
that's nailed into plywood.
Nailed, yeah. So that might be
best way to take.
You can pull it off.
Here's how you do that too. You whack the edges of the counter tile with a hammer so that you're exposing the profile
of it,
and then you can get a crowbar.
All that cap.
All that cap comes up. You literally just hit it straight down with a hammer. Make sure you got tarp on the floor and you cover your stove or get it out of there because it'll totally chip and dent the stuff around it. Then you can get a pry bar between the mortar bed and the plywood on top and pry it up in big sections, and it's much easier to get out that way.
And go slow. Because whatever the wood is underneath can break through.
Right.
So go slow on it.
And clearly, obviously, you want to demo the tile before you do your paint job. And if you have the tile or the new surface off the top, it's way easier to paint without a top on. So do that.
And the floor-wise, I would just go with a sheet good. I'd go with a marmoleon or a cool, old-schooly, mid-century look. Because you got new appliances. You know, those are relatively new. Everything
right.
else kind of got to go. But like to your question, I would go on the cheap, paint them, you know, spray them if you can. If you can't, you know, you got to do oil. You're going to have to prep the hell out of them. You're going to have to prime them. And you're going to have to go slow on the paint because it's got to turn out great. You know, it really does.
And then when you do your tops, I would just do, you know, if you want to do like a cheap top, buy the Formica stuff that looks good. Yeah, it looks fine. It comes in great colors. There's a whole different
palette. There's like a thousands of colors. Yeah.
And it's a little
laminate.
Yeah, the laminate stuff. I think that would be nice.
That would be good.
That's our design, and I think you'll like it.
Because this is straight out of – this is like 1981 personified.
81, yep. That's it. I was wearing during the time of this kitchen remodel, I was wearing a yellow Izod with my collar up.
With the Kiori pants.
Yeah, exactly.
God, what a look. Hey, with that said, you guys, thank you for supporting our show. Visit aceontheroof.com. Click on the PayPal button. You guys know what to do. Click through our Amazon link. We appreciate that. Twitter, Ace on the House. We need some vitties, people. We like the vitties. So do the vitties. Facebook.com, Ace on the House. Follow me. I'm Ray Oldhofer on the Twitter. Follow Eric. He's Eric Stromer on the Twitter. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment. We like that. Eric loves me, and I love Eric. Email us videos. Matt, thank you.
You are so welcome.
Kaylon. Kaylon.
K. Thank you.
Digging the hair, big man.
Thank you, sir.
You're looking right. Rather handsome, Cam. Yeah. I'll kiss you.
Come on in and take a BO picture. Let's do it.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.